So I'm going to discuss on this topic, love, lust, and service. So, why I chose this topic? Because, of course, devotion is all about service. And Srila Prabhupada, he was so expert that he defined bhakti as devotional service. But if you literally translate bhakti, that means devotion. It's not devotional service. But Srila Prabhupada included the meaning of the word in the definition. So the meaning of devotion is service, and he included this in the definition of bhakti. And that's usually Prabhupada's style. He generally defines something and he includes a meaning in the definition. Just like God. Now how do you define God as? Now how do you define Bhagavan as? God. But Prabhupada defines as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see? So Prabhupada gives the meaning of God in the definition of God. So what do you mean by God? Okay, he's a person and Supreme Person. So Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what Prabhupada said, devotional service. And we have to understand what is service properly, because if we don't understand what is service, why we have to do what is service and what happens when we serve Krishna, then in spite of serving Krishna, we'll not attain perfection. So I just wanted to discuss on this topic of love, lust, and service. Because sometimes, of course, service is love, but sometimes it might change into lust without even our understanding. Okay, but it will become clear when I discuss about. Okay, what's the definition of service? Now, Prabhupada gives a definition in Actor of Devotion, introduction. And this is simple, but it's very deep. And Srila Prabhupada says, devotional service means to prosecute Krishna conscious activities which are favorable to transcendental pleasure of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Simple. But yet, very deep. Service, if you want to understand what is service, we have to remember three words. One is prosecution. Prosecution means action, execution. And second is favorable. And third is pleasure. So what that means, what these three words means. If you delete any of these words in this definition of service, then it's no longer a service. Okay, so what this means, this is from Introduction, Nectar of Devotion, a classical definition of service, but we have to discuss this in details. And the definition we all know, Krishna Anushilinam, that famous verse, Anya Vilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. So that's the definition, but it has to be discussed in details. Okay, so in service we have three words: prosecution, favorable, and pleasure. Now what do we mean by prosecution? Prosecution means action, and that means service means doing, the first component in service. Srila Prabhupada always said, do something for Krishna. And, oh yeah, today also I was hearing his lecture, Prabhupada lecture. Prabhupada was saying, yeah, service doesn't mean, devotion doesn't mean sitting down. Devotion means doing something for Krishna. And in fact, Prabhupada always says, do as I'm doing. He sometimes even said, do more than I'm doing. Of course, that's impossible for probably most of us. We can't do. What to say more than Prabhupada? We can't do even or how Prabhupada did. It's impossible. But nevertheless, Prabhupada said service begins with doing something or action. But the problem here is you can't do anything what you like. And that is why doing means following. A next word is added. That means favorable. You have to do something what Krishna wants. You don't have to do something what you want. Because sometimes in devotion we can do something what we want. But Krishna doesn't want that. Like for example, I can ask you, I can ask you, give me a glass of water. Fine. And you bring a glass of lime juice for me. Lime juice? They know? Lemon juice. And I say, well, I asked for water. You tell, yeah, you have water plus lime and sugar, so it is a bonus for you. Anyway, you have water, but you have extra lemon and sugar, so what's the problem, you know, isn't it? But the problem is, I didn't ask for that. So, service means doing something for God, for Krishna, but according to what He wants, not according to what you want. That's the idea there. And that means following. Following precisely means I want to follow what you want. I don't want to follow what I want. And this distinction is very important. And to do this, you have to have knowledge. You have to understand exactly what Krishna wants. And when we talk about Krishna, we also talk about devotees. And so Krishna without devotees have no sense. Prabhupada says, a king without subjects have no meaning. He is a king. And where is the kingdom? No kingdom. But he is a king. It doesn't make any sense. So, if you want to follow Krishna, we have to have knowledge. And you see, here's a point. If we don't have knowledge, exactly what Krishna and his devotees want from us, we'll be doing something, but then that Krishna doesn't want. So, just like in India, many people go to temple, they do something, they do aartis and so and so and so and so and so. But because they are not connected to any particular sampradaya or any pure devotee, they don't really understand what Krishna wants in this situation, isn't it? So they might be chanting something or doing some puja, but then this, but they don't really understand what he wants. Now that's following. But, here's the point. You can do something what Krishna wants, but in a way which is displeasing to him. That also you can do. Now I can ask you a glass of water, and you bring me a glass of water, and you come, Prabhu, this is a glass of water, here you can drink it, and you go off. And you don't speak in a polite way, isn't it? Well, you give me a glass of water, but then that's not pleasing to me, isn't it? So third component means, following means pleasing. You have to follow in such a way so that it pleases. Because you can also follow in such a way which is not pleasing to Krishna. Now, so is that clear to all of you? Is it clear? It's clear, no? But because I'm going to make it more complex. No. So, service means doing, and to do something, you have to be obedient, isn't it? And doing means following. That means you have to do in a way what Krishna wants, and to follow, you have to have knowledge. What exactly Krishna wants and what he doesn't want. And following means pleasing. And to follow him, follow that instruction in such a way so that it pleases God. And for that, you have to understand his heart and his nature. And that's very important. Now, here's a point now. You see the point. Sometimes, to please Krishna, you can disobey his orders. Now, following means obeying orders of God. But then you have another component, pleasure. Sometimes to please him, you cannot follow him. And this is where distinction of these three stages come. That's why service divided into three phases. Because it's complex. Just like for example, okay, can you give example where you can disobey orders of Krishna, you cannot follow him but yet please him. You can disobey his orders to please him.
Maybe when you go into a society of karmis doing their activities, but you bring them prasadam and try to purify them, no. They will get a taste to...
No, I'm asking example. You can disobey the orders of Krishna, You cannot follow him, but nevertheless please him. That's my question. That's why this definition is there. Otherwise you can say service means following, simple, finished. But that doesn't, it doesn't fulfill, so it doesn't encompass the whole dimension of service. Just following, no, it doesn't help us to understand what service is all about. These three components are required. And then there is a dynamic play between all these three. Okay, anybody can tell? Sort of. But there was no order there, no? First try.
When Krishna sent gopis
back home. Okay, yeah. That's the point. So gopis, Krishna called them. Krishna called gopis in the night by playing flute. He called them. That was his order. They came and he said, go back. That was his order, go back. Gopi said no. And so you know what Gopi said to Krishna? Gopi said, we know you nicely. We exactly understand. You speak something and you think something else. We know your habit. Krishna has funny habits. He's a strange person. If you know him. Oh, Srila Prabhupada was saying in one of his lectures, Prabhupada says that he has a very strong nature and very difficult nature. And that happens, you know. So when you have a relationship with somebody, just like husband and wife or girl and a boy, when they start coming close to each other, they find it's not so simple as we thought, isn't it? Initially it was like, okay, you know, she's my friend and I'm his friend. We'll have a nice time, whole life, it's good, it's nice. And as they come closer and closer and closer, relationship becomes complex. And you understand. And that is why, you see, before marriage everything is nice. It's heaven. But after marriage, it's a different story altogether. Everything changes. Because you are very close and things become very complex. So relationships are complex. So if a relationship with a person is so complex, what to talk about relationship with God? It's got to be very complex. So gopis said, we know you speak something and think something else. We exactly understand. So we are not going to follow your orders. And Krishna became very happy, isn't it? Why? Because they understood his nature, his heart, his thoughts, and he could defy his orders. So sometimes you cannot follow Krishna and please him. Ultimate end of service is pleasure. If you are doing everything right in temple and devotees are displeased, is it service? It's not service. Because finally the question ultimately, so one of the philosopher, he said, so you know Lao Tzu? You know Lao Tzu? He's a Chinese philosopher. Lao Tzu. He said, ultimately it doesn't really matter whether you are correct or you are wrong. Ultimately it matters whether the other person is pleased or displeased. Now, there is a truth in this definition. I mean to say, of course, you also have to take right and wrong decisions. But at the same time, in a relationship when you talk about two persons, ultimately it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're right or wrong. Ultimately it matters whether that person is pleased or not, isn't it? So that's with God. So, and that...
Okay, fine.
I'll come to that point. So I'm saying that there is a this definition is not a universal definition, but it has a small truth in that. There's a truth. Now the idea is, so the idea here is nicely expressed you can disobey the orders of God to please Him. You see the point there? So you see, you bypass the second step and you go to third step. So ultimately Krishna should be pleased, even if you don't follow Him. And if you can really understand that, you're a perfect devotee. But for that you have to understand Krishna fully. Completely. You have to understand He really wants from inside, heart, but He's saying something else, like gopis, isn't it? So sometimes you can disobey the orders of God to please Him. And there's another classical example of Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Him not to come to Jagannath Puri, Prabhupada says. But He nevertheless came every year. Every year He came. And Prabhupada says, He didn't follow orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Him. You see? And sometimes you can do an offense against God to please Him. Is there an example for that? Good. Govinda, His servant. That's a classical example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so tired doing His kirtans. He came and He just, on the door, He was blocking the door and He just lay down. So Govinda came, His servant, He said, well, you know, I want to massage your legs. Mahaprabhu said, okay, go, do that. So He said, I have to go inside, otherwise how will I do? You're blocking the way. Mahaprabhu said, you go. He said, let me in. Mahaprabhu said, see, you want to massage, you massage, otherwise I get lost. Let me just complete this. So Govinda, he took his towel, put on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and He jumped over Him. He jumped over God. That's a very big thing. That's a clear-cut offense. But Govinda in his mind thought, okay, to serve Him I can do this offense. So, but then He didn't come out, isn't it? And Mahaprabhu, when He got up and He said, oh, Govinda, you didn't have lunch. He said, well, how can I go out? You're blocking the door. Mahaprabhu said, the same way you came inside, the same way you can go outside. He said, no, but I'll go outside just for my sense gratification, for my eating. That I don't want to do. I came inside to serve you. You see, that way. So another example is gopis gave the dust off their feet when Krishna had a headache. So, you see, it's not so simple if you say, you simply follow and that's service. No. That is why all these three components are there. Doing, following and pleasing. Sometimes you can please Krishna without following. Sometimes you can please Krishna without even with doing offenses towards Him. And for that you have to understand His nature. You see? You have to understand His nature. So that is service all about. Sometimes, so the idea is a new devotee, For him, service is simply doing the first step. That's a new devotee. Simply doing, okay. That is obeying. Doing means obeying. A new devotee comes, you say, clean the floor. Okay, clean the floor. Finish. But when you advance a little bit, then you understand, yeah, it's not simply a matter of obeying, but I have to also understand, this devotee is telling me to clean the floor because Krishna wants it. It's not simply because He's telling I have to do. You see the point? So you get knowledge. By knowledge you can understand. You can understand more how to follow. So you understand from the first phase of doing. If you want to go to the second phase of following, you have to get knowledge. You see? Are you getting my point? And if you want to make a jump from second platform, following to pleasing, what do you need? Now tell me. Love, understanding. Yeah, to know Krishna, but what practically do you want to do? To go from the stage of doing to following, you need knowledge of scriptures. Isn't it? Because scriptures will tell you, you should do this, you should not do this, Krishna wants this, Krishna doesn't want this. You see, knowledge. But from following to pleasing, if you want to go, what do you need? Now that's my question. No, we are defining devotion. You see? Yeah. You can say that, but something practical and concrete. You see, if you say you have to apply the knowledge, everybody can say I'm applying. You see, something very practical, something we can do. You do this and you gum coke and you go from falling to pleasing.
You need a goal.
What should I do?
What you want to do with your life?
What should I add in my life so that I can know how to please him? We all have a spiritual master. Okay, you need, from going from doing to following, you need philosophy, isn't it? You need to understand philosophy. But from going from following to pleasing, you need to understand pastimes of Krishna. You need to read pastimes, because through pastimes you can understand his nature. I told you, you have to understand the nature of God if you want to disobey his orders. You have to really understand his heart, what he wants from inside. And then you can do that thing. So to understand his heart, you have to understand his pastimes. Because pastimes are spiritual windows to help us understand his nature. That's why he's doing pastimes. Otherwise, why will he do pastimes? Isn't it? He's doing pastimes to reveal his qualities and nature to us. He's doing pastimes to reveal the complexities when we enter into relationship with him. And that's what happened with Arjuna. Krishna told Arjuna that, Arjun, you have to kill Ashwathama and at the same time you don't have to kill him. Ashwathama? Draupadi was saying, to Arjuna, you should not kill Ashwathama. Bhima was saying, you kill him. And there was a conflict. Arjuna was thinking what to do. He saw Krishna. Krishna said, yeah, you kill him and don't kill him. What? So Arjuna, then how to take decision? Arjuna knew Krishna. He was his friend. He knew his nature, his thoughts, his ideas, and he could take a proper decision. He just took out the money of Ashwathama. You know this all of, no? And he just, like, he made him ugly and threw him away. So it is said, defamation is worse than death. He defamed him. So he killed him and simultaneously didn't kill him. So if you want to make a transition from following to pleasing, we have to read the pastimes daily. Otherwise, we'll not be able to make this transition. And that is why Srila Prabhupada says, well, that's Prabhupada's standing instruction to read Krishna book daily. Isn't it? Is it? It's there in his letters. All devotees should read Krishna book daily, at least for 45 minutes to 1 hour. And that was a very good insight. Because if we don't read pastimes, if we simply read philosophy always, then we'll not be really able to understand the nature of God. Because pastimes are philosophy in action. What are you reading philosophy for? For what? Okay, there are many other aspects of philosophy. But we are reading philosophy to understand how Krishna acts, isn't it? That's the role of philosophy, otherwise it's useless. Janma karma cha me divyam evam avyakti tatvatah. Krishna says, you understand my birth and my pastimes, everything. Vetti tatvatah, tatvatah means through philosophy. So that's why Prabhupada says, okay, read Krishna book daily. And that will make the difference. Because generally in ISKCON life, it's a very busy life, isn't it? Especially in the institution. And when you're advanced, it's a very busy life. Days by days, it just goes like that. And we don't get opportunity to read Krishna book. Isn't it? Do you all read Krishna book daily? No. I know that. I know that. It's you have to put that in your schedule, otherwise it will not come there. You must read. And the best time to read is when you go to sleep. As a bedtime stories. Isn't it? That's the best, Prabhupada. Then you'll dream of Krishna also. And that's a very good thing. And make it a habit. Otherwise you'll never go from this phase to that phase. Because to understand a person, he's a person, he's not... Remember, he's a person. That's very important. It's very simple. It's a very easy fact. But nevertheless, it's a very important fact. Because in devotion, sometimes everything becomes impersonal. And I can give you an example for that. we all take Krishna as impersonal, down in our core of our souls. Impersonalism is very difficult to get out of it. That's Mayavad, isn't it? So Mayavad, we all have Mayavad inside us, but we don't understand. Okay, I can prove that. You know how? Okay, let me ask you. Can anybody speak on eyes of Krishna for 5 minutes? And the rule is, you should not repeat a statement. Don't do that. Because then, otherwise you will say, oh, Krishna's eyes are so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. And it's extremely beautiful. And then you can, for 5 minutes, you can keep on saying. No, don't repeat it. Without repeating any point, you have to speak 5 minutes. Can anybody do that? 4 minutes? 3 minutes? 2 minutes? 1 minute? 30 seconds? You can do that? 30 seconds? Okay, let's make an experiment. Okay, speak on. So, you see the point? We are chanting his names, Hare Krishna, 24 hours. We are there with him 24 hours, but we can't even speak about his eyes for 30 seconds. It's practically insane. If we are serving him and if we want to know him, by this time we should be like knowing him inside out, but we don't know him. Somehow, somewhere we are considering him not as a person, isn't it? You ask any boyfriend, you speak about the eyes of your girlfriend, he will speak for 10 minutes without repeating. He can speak, he is thinking of her always, you know. So you see the point. Please read Krishna book daily. Don't do that. Otherwise, we'll have a lot of problems. We'll not be able to advance. It's impossible to do that. And why Prabhupada said that, I've told you the logic. It seems very simple. Prabhupada's instruction seems very simple. But you cannot delete any of his instruction. You cannot delete. You have to follow all his instructions as it is. Because devotion is a package. It's not this, and it's done. No. Okay, you see the point? So if you want to make a transition from following to pleasing, what do you do? Yeah, you have to add pastimes. And if you want to go from doing to following, then philosophy. So both have to be combined. Philosophy and pastimes. That's why Krishna gave us two eyes. One, philosophy. One is fixed on philosophy, other is fixed on pastimes. And then you combine. If you walk with one eye, what happens? You fall down, isn't it? Because two eyes helps you to give a binocular vision, isn't it? Binocular? With one eye you can't see the depth. Two eyes, there's a depth. So if you don't have pastimes in your life, simply if you have philosophy, you will not see the depth of Krishna. You can't see inside his heart. You'll not be able to do that. You're not sure? One eye? Yeah, one eye, you can't see the depth. If you walk, you can't really perceive. So some people read pastimes and no philosophy. Some people read only philosophy and no pastimes. We are not in both the camps. We read both. And sometimes it is said in scriptures, morning... So there's a verse in Sanskrit. Morning... you read about stealing. Afternoon, you read about kidnapping. And evening, you read about fight. You see? So that's the idea. So morning, you read about stealing means Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastime. Krishna's whole life is about stealing, isn't it? He's stealing butter. He's stealing hearts of gopis. He's stealing clothes. So that's why all the classical commentators, they like to call Krishna as a chore, thief. That's the best word for him. And after an afternoon, you read about kidnapping, and Ramayana is all about kidnapping. No? Raman kidnapped Sita. So that was a main pivot of Ramayana, around whole Ramayana is revolving. There's no kidnapping, nothing happens. And evening you read about fight, that is Gita, Mahabharata. So you see, it's traditionally it used to happen like that. It's a philosophy, pastimes, and that's very nice. So this is very important point. So okay, let me ask you a question. A devotee who is simply doing, he is first class, second class, or third class devotee? Come on, it's simple. Yeah, third class devotee, isn't he? He's a neophyte. A devotee is doing and following. He has philosophy, he has knowledge. He is first, second, or third? Second class. And first class devotee is, he is doing, following, and pleasing God. Okay? You see? Now here is another point. Now this is, I added a level of complexity here in this definition. There is another level of complexity which you can add in this definition. Okay, now tell me, let me ask you a question. If you have to offer, suppose rice to Krishna, okay, and devotees do not like rice, should you offer or not? But Krishna likes butter, okay, so should you offer butter to Krishna or not? But devotees don't like, in that temple devotees do not like butter. If you give them butter, they'll vomit. Suppose example, they don't like, so should you offer or not? Both. No, you have to choose.
Little bit for Krishna's pleasure and the rest for Krishna's devotees.
No, I'm saying you have to choose.
Choose?
Yeah. Should you offer or not?
No.
No. Why?
Because by pleasing devotees.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a verse. What's that verse? Can anybody tell me? It's a famous verse, Prabhupada quotes. Krishna says to Arjun. Adi Purana. What's that? Okay, yeah, good, yeah, it was a Sanskrit. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, anyway, yeah, that's good, we gave it to you, at least got that. Name bhakta jana partha. That's the verse, Prabhupada quotes. People who say they are my devotees, they are not my devotees. Name bhakta jana partha. I think Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna. And devotees who are my devotees, they are my devotees, you see. So sometimes to please Krishna, you please his devotees. And then Krishna is pleased. You see, Krishna doesn't want our butter. He has a lot of butter in spiritual world. The question is not your butter and not your rice. The question is whether his devotees are pleased or not. Of course, we don't fulfill the whims of all the devotees. Whatever they want, we don't do. Everything we do in the limits of scriptures, but within the limits, you should have this art to understand exactly how to please him. So sometimes you might not offer something what Krishna likes, but because devotees don't like that. And that's a classical example given, that's a question raised by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in his book Bhakti Swarmartha Sindhu Bindu. And he specifically raises this question to understand, to make us understand that pleasing Krishna is not an easy game. It's not so easy. Because you see, we are chanting, Prabhupada is chanting. We are doing what Prabhupada is doing, but Krishna is pleased with Prabhupada. Krishna was not pleased, that much pleased by his god brothers as he was pleased by Prabhupada, isn't it? Pleasing is not, he is displeased or pleased. Pleasing also, there are levels, no? He is a person. I am pleased, I am more pleased, I am most pleased, isn't it? So when we chant Hare Krishna for Krishna, Krishna is happy, okay, good. He is smiling. But when Prabhupada chants Hare Krishna for Krishna, then Krishna might be jumping, you know, not just smiling, because he really likes his chanting. So that's why I was telling you, Krishna is a person. That's very important to understand. We are not really here to please Krishna, but we are here to please him in all respects. Prabhupada said this. Satisfy Krishna in all respects. All respects. We are not here simply to please him. We are here to please him to the maximum limit. That is gopis. And that is why we are called the follower of gopis. Isn't it? Gopi... So that's classical definition. So we are gopi bhartu patkam layor dasanu dasanu das. We are followers of gopis. And why gopis are so special? And Sanatan Goswami writes a big book, Brihat Bhagavat Amrit. In that he says, okay, Pandavas were devotees, Uddhava were devotees, Dwarkavasis are devotees, Hanuman is devotees, gopis are devotees. But what's so special in gopis? So that all other devotees are below them. Why they're so special? Everybody knows how to please Krishna, but gopis are most expert in that, isn't it? Tatrati Dakshyat. That's we sing in the morning. Nikunjo Yuvanorati Keri Siddhai. Ali Bhir Yuktir. Tatrati Dakshyat. Daksh means expert. Daksh means expert. Daksh means one who is expert in that service. So gopis are experts. So these dynamics we have to understand. So according to this, they have, if you have three types of services, first class, second class, third class, there are three types of servants. Now, if you understand this, then there are so many other things you can understand. Now, third class servant, second class servant, and first class servant. So, third class servant is a person who tries to do some service. He'll do service out of fear and force. Now, this definition is according to Valmiki Ramayana, by the way. Three types of servant. So it is said, third class servant force does service, okay, but out of force and fear or offenses. Just like most of us when we were new, isn't it? You have to come for Mangal Arati. If you don't come, then it's an offense, isn't it? We chant 16 rounds. Why? Because if you don't chant, you're initiated. Now you have to chant, otherwise there'll be offense, isn't it? We did 10 offenses in the morning. Okay, but no, I mean this is generally in ISKCON, they read some, mostly really don't read, whatever. But the idea is, most of our service is out of fear of offenses, in the initial stages. It's not bad to fear offenses, but that's not the only inspiring factor. In the initial stages, offense and force. Some people say you have to do this, sometimes you don't want to do service, but because we have to do so, we should do, isn't it? It's out of force. And third class servant, he will do if he likes the service. If he doesn't like, he will either not do, he will find excuses to not to do, or he will procrastinate. Procrastinate, you understand? Procrastination. He might delay or say no. He might say excuses. So if some devotee comes, you say clean the floor, he might say, you know what, my knees are paining, my hands are paining, I don't feel nice, this, some excuse. But second class servant is a different. He accepts other. He doesn't do service out of fear of offenses. Now the inspiring factor to do service is because he wants to follow, he wants to obey. Second class servant has understood the pleasure of obeying. You see? He's understood the pleasure to surrender. He's understood that the more you give up your independence, the more sweeter the service becomes. He's coming to hate his independence. Third class servant likes his independence. You see, it's more deep. I can think what I should do. Now they are telling me, but I don't want to do it. But because they're telling I should do it, what to do, I'm stuck up. That's okay. But second class servant is not like that. He accepts orders. Yes. He wants to become subservient. Okay? Now, so you remember this. And then I'll introduce something else. But remember this, what I'm saying. Because I'm going to make it complex now. And second class servant, he likes to do service. He likes. And he does as much as is said. Now second class servant is, you ask to clean the floor, he will clean nicely. I like it. And then he'll go to his room. And then you say, okay, now you have to cook, he'll come and do cooking nicely and then go to his room. And then you say, okay, you have to do puja. Yes, I'll come 7 o'clock puja or 6:30 and I'll do Gaur Aarti and I'll do nicely. And then 7 after lecture, he'll go to his room. That is second class. But first class is he does more than it is said. He'll not go to his room. He'll think, what more can I do? First class servant will do more than what is ordered. And any example for that? Second class will do what is ordered. Nicely. Or first class will do more than what is ordered. Any example? Yeah, classical example.
Spiritual master of Prabhupada said preaching English.
Okay, so yeah.
Preaching
okay, you can say that also. Yeah. Classical example is Hanuman. Ram said to Hanuman, bring information of Sita, isn't it? That's it. But Hanuman burned the Lanka. Ram didn't order that. And not only that, he met Ravan face to face and he put fear in Ravan's heart. Before meeting Hanuman, Ravan was absolutely confident, this Ram is crazy and he is trying to fight with me with some monkeys and he's a useless person. Like we are so strong people. But after meeting Hanuman, he was very discouraged. He thought, if one monkey can do this, how much so many monkeys? What kind of monkeys Brahm has? Monkeys, you know, like it's a different... He was very afraid actually. He was very afraid. And so Hanuman not only burned Lanka, he put fear in Ravan's heart and he also got the plan of entire Lanka. He saw everything. So that when they attack, they should know all the strategic points. And Ram was so happy. He did more than what is said. That is first class servant. Second class will do whatever is said. And like Prabhupada. Prabhupada's guru, he ordered him to preach in West. But Prabhupada did more than what his guru said. He not only preached in West, he brought the West to East. That his guru didn't tell him. You bring Americans to India. No, he said go and preach. But Prabhupada did something more than that. Prabhupada did much more than that. Prabhupada's guru said, whenever you get money, you print the books. Book distribution, that's all. Prabhupada also introduced Govinda restaurant, preaching, so many ideas. This was unique to Prabhupada, especially. Prabhupada did that. So, you see, now you tell me, if you want to become first class servant from second class, what do you do? What you should add in your life to become first class? Now, we all want to become first class servant, isn't it?
Desire to serve.
No, this is a very abstract answer. Desire to serve. Everybody can say, I have a desire to serve. I need something objective, isn't it? It's a science. You need something objective. Yeah, answer should be objective. Otherwise, it's abstract. You see, I like to give this example. So, generally, you ask somebody in ISKCON, or anywhere. So you ask, how should I advance? They'll say, become sincere. Okay, next time you ask, how should I advance? Become sincere, you know. And the next time, you should become very sincere. Now what? It's not an answer, you see. According to me, it's an answer to avoid the answer. Because you have to define, how should I become sincere? What should I do? I'm already a full-time in ISKCON, suppose for example, and you're 24 hours busy, and then now how should I become sincere? Like, I can't stretch the day. I can't do more than that. And then what should you do? You see the point? So, sincere is not exactly the answer. You have to define things. You have to define your life. You have to define things. Otherwise, Krishna consciousness will become very abstract. Will not be able to advance. Because, actually, that's what happens. Because things are not defined, we assume we know things, but we don't know things. You see the point? So that's why I'm asking a concrete answer. That's speciality of Prabhupada. What Prabhupada is doing in his books? Why Prabhupada books can change people's life? Because Prabhupada defines. If you go to any other institution, they don't have a process to follow. They have philosophy, big philosophy, but what to do? We don't know. And then, okay, yeah, it's very nice, but what exactly, we don't have a blueprint what to do. And that's why people read so many philosophies, but they're not satisfied. But when you read Prabhupada books, okay, yeah, this is, now I know exactly this to do, this to do, this to do, this how to do. Prabhupada defines everything. That's uniqueness of Prabhupada books. And I'll talk about that, about Srila Prabhupada books afterwards. But okay, fine. So yeah, so my question is, if you want to become from second class servant to first class servant, what do you do? Yeah. Yeah, but that, you see, the answer is a little abstract, isn't it? It's not clearly defined. Life and soul. Everybody can say, I have taken orders of life and soul. You understand what I'm trying to say here? Yeah,
maybe my second guess would be that you add your time to a service. Like, I will not spend just 1 hour to clean the temple room, but I will take extra 15 minutes to see what can I do more.
Okay, so yeah, so can you put your answer in one word? See, I'll tell you a technique, and this is a good technique. If you want to know whether your answer is correct or not, there is a simple technique. If your answer is big, it's wrong. That's a simple technique. If you understand something, you'll be able to put it in one word. You see the point? But, okay, now put it in one word. You're okay to the point. Put it in one word. That's okay, that's good. Put it in one word. Then we can say you understand. Otherwise, you can't really say. It's a simple technique, it's like that. Okay. The answer is... What are you saying? Okay, the answer is... Be creative. You know this? Simple. Prabhupada said in one of his letters, make Krishna consciousness interesting. Apply your mind. Be creative. This is said, you do this. This is that. Is no. Be creative. And that's what Maya is all about. Maya is all about being creative, isn't it? She's so creative and we are so attracted to her. That's all Maya. So be creative in Krishna consciousness. Come up with nice ideas. Of course, within the limits of scriptures. But you have to come up with, you start thinking, okay, what can I do for Krishna? Something new. Then you can do more than what is said. That's what Prabhupada was. Prabhupada used the word creative, Prabhupada used the word propaganda. You know this? I'll talk about that. That's also creativity, propaganda. Okay, so... Now, whatever type of servant you are, whatever type of service you do, don't forget this. Whether you are first class servant, second class, third class, first class service, second class, third class service, whatever it is, no problem. Don't forget this. Prabhupada says, do your best and then live on Krishna. Never be discouraged in Krishna consciousness. This is from Nectar of Devotion, chapter 22. This is very nice. Prabhupada says, Krishna becomes obliged to loving spirit of a devotee, not exactly to the service rendered. No man can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete, self-sufficient that he has no need of any service from devotee. This devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. So, more than action, important thing is attitude. With what attitude you are doing for Krishna. And so once actually Prabhupada in the West, he was giving lecture. There were big sannyasis. Like, the word big is... At that time it was used, you know, it's a big sannyasi. All everybody, Hamsadut Prabhu, and everybody was sitting. So when Mataji was cleaning, sweeping the floor in the back, and Prabhupada told, in fact, between the lecture, Prabhupada said, she will go back to Godhead. And not to all those big sannyasis. Because she was cleaning the floor, Prabhupada says, with a lot of sincerity and with a proper loving spirit. You see the point? So the idea is attitude. If you can do an action with a proper attitude, that's the best. But more important is the attitude. Krishna doesn't want to see you making big temples or this and that. You can do that very nice. But he wants to see with what attitude you are doing. And that's classical example is Hanuman and squirrel, isn't it? So Hanuman was throwing big rocks and squirrel was throwing small pebbles. The pebbles of squirrel has no consequence in making the bridge. You know this, no? But Ram was pleased, equally pleased. Now the example given is, okay, if you want to marry a female, if you want to, of course, if you will marry a female, in West you have to see, you have to marry a female. In West, yeah. So if you want to marry a female, what do you want? You want the girl or you want her ornaments? What do you want? If you marry a female, you want the girl or you want her ornaments? If a choice is given. Choices, his or her ornaments, her cash, her everything, and there's a girl. What do you want? You go on the girl or the... Of course both, yeah. We want both. We want the girl and ornaments and a makeup kit and everything, you know, everything should come together. But if you want to choose, you want the girl, isn't it? But if you choose her ornaments and a makeup kit and everything and you don't choose the girl, it doesn't make any sense, isn't it? So attitude is like a beautiful girl. And action is like ornaments and the makeup kit. Action is an expression of a proper attitude. Without attitude, action makes no sense. Isn't it? So an example is given. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives an example. You get the girl and she is very beautiful, all makeup done, all ornaments, but one thing is missing. Just one thing. She is dead. Would you like to take her? The more the makeup, the more dangerous she in that dead body is. A horror movie, you know. And that is, without attitude, action, doing action is like a dead female with a makeup. It's like that. Doesn't make any sense for that. So we have to do both. With a proper attitude, we have to do the action. And what is that attitude? I'll just tell afterwards. But okay. And Krishna says, so never be discouraged. Krishna says, even if you do something for Krishna and you don't get the result, that's the idea. Action is just by the result, isn't it? Whether your action is right or wrong, okay. If you got results, it's right. If you not got results, it's wrong. So action is just by results. So Prabhupada says, even if you don't get results in Krishna consciousness, don't be discouraged, because Krishna will see your attitude. You try for results sincerely, but if you don't get discouraged. No problem. You try your best to make a temple, to distribute books, but if you're not able to distribute, in spite of your sincerity, that's important. No, never be discouraged. Never be discouraged in Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we do get discouraged, isn't it? We all of us, we get discouraged, we become depressed. And if you do get discouraged and depressed, Prabhupada gives a solution for that. Prabhupada says, when discouraged, think how much Krishna is serving us. It's a very simple concept, but very deep concept. This is from Room Conversations, 1969, Columbus. Prabhupada says, oh, why not serve God? He's so great. He's giving us so many things. Let me return him something. Let me do some service. This is the idea on which Vallabh Sampradaya is based. Whole Vallabh Sampradaya is based on this idea. And that is beauty of Prabhupada books. Please read Prabhupada books nicely. And every line, Prabhupada books, every line is full of depth. If you go to Vallabh Sampradaya, so you know Vallabh Sampradaya, no? Vallabhacharya Sampradaya? Vallabhacharya? Vallabhacharya, his Sampradaya. Yes or no?
Yes.
It's a okay. There is a school of spirituality, of devotion, started by Vallabhacharya. That's Vallabh Sampradaya. It's a big like devotees, nice devotees. So if you go and say this to them, they will faint, because this is a summary of the whole their philosophy. This is called as a reciprocal effort. Devotion is not really about action. Devotion is more about response. You see, there's a difference. You're responding to Krishna. You're not just acting. You see the difference? You come and do something for me. That's action. But I will do many things for you, and in response you do something for me because you're obliged and feel grateful, isn't it? You understand? That is response or reciprocation. That's called reciprocation. Devotion is not just action. That's not the idea. The game doesn't begin from us. The game begins from him. He begins a game and he will end the game. We are in between. So, whenever you're discouraged, just think how much Krishna has done for you. When you serve Krishna, Krishna will serve you. In fact, because Krishna serves us, that is why we are serving Him. And you have to understand that. Then we can serve Him whole life. Isn't it? And there's a devotee, you know. So one of the Alwar is like great saints in South India. So one of the Alwar, he's saying to God. So these Alwars used to talk with God. They were so high, elevated devotees. So he said to God, in Tirupati Balaji, he went and he said, Balaji, you are not a good person. He said to him, and then that's anyway, he's talking. He says, now you brought me in devotion. I didn't want to come, isn't it? No one of us wanted to come here. Krishna brought us here, isn't it? Most of us, some devotee came and convinced us. Who wants to come to this? He convinced us, okay. So you brought me here, so it's not just conviction, he made some plan so that we can come here. He did something. So you brought me here, and now after bringing me here, you kept me here. And after keeping me here, you gave me so many things, and you made me advance in devotion. You gave me devotees, you gave me prasad, you gave me holy name, you gave me books, you made such an environment so that I can advance. Now it is your duty to take me back to Godhead. Why did you bring me so far? And if you brought me so far, then complete my journey. And if you don't complete my journey, then you beware. I will go and I will convince people you are not God. You destroy people's life. That's gopis. That's actually gopi bhav. Alwars have that. So you see the point? Now, if we really think about it, everything Krishna is doing, our part is very small. Very small, isn't it? We can't even chant His names if Krishna doesn't give mercy. Prabhupada says in one of His lectures, if we are paralysis, we can't even chant. So, Krishna is doing so many things from millions of lives. In spite of us wanting, if you can just think about this, you will never leave serving Him, isn't it? If I give you a gift, what do you do in return? What do you do? If I give you a gift, you will give some gift to me, isn't it? You will return. If you are a gentleman, if you are complete nonsense, nothing. Okay? And like that. So Krishna gives so many gifts for millions of lives. That is why it is said, it is a duty to serve Him. That is why it is said the concept of duty is brought. And that is why it is said if you don't do devotion, it is sinful. I read Prabhupada books and Prabhupada says, no, not doing bhakti is sinful. I said, what is this? It doesn't make any sense. When I was new, like so many people, they are nice people and they are not doing any sins. They are not killing anybody. No theft, and they are sinful. I couldn't really figure it out. After understanding this, I could figure out, yeah, it's sinful. Krishna is giving you so many things. You are not doing anything. You are not giving any back to Him. And this is like complete nonsense person. So this is called sustained reciprocal effort. Devotion is not just about action. It doesn't begins from your side. It is a response. It is a reciprocation for what Krishna has done for us millions of lives. And by the way, I'll tell you one more thing. Okay, let me just ask you. If you go to somebody's house and he doesn't want you in your house, in his house, will you go to his house? Yes or no? He doesn't want you in his house, but you go. And you stay in his house for 3 days. He doesn't want you. What do you say? What happens? You don't want to do that, isn't it? Nobody. Like, you will not feel nice. Another, he'll feel nice. Come on, we don't want. But Krishna is doing exactly this thing. Krishna is living in our heart, isn't it? For millions of lives, even if we didn't want Him. He's staying with us, He's staying in our with us, even though we don't want Him. How much difficult it is for Krishna to live with a person who doesn't want Him. But nevertheless, He's there with us. And He'll be with us always. Because He's wonderful. Prabhupada says, simply wonderful. And if you can understand this, you will never leave serving. Who wants to leave serving such a person? But you have to understand this statement. Let me do some service to him. And that is Prabhupada. Deep philosophy in simple words. And this is room conversation, by the way. Have anybody of you have heard all room conversations of Prabhupada? Or read it in English? I think it's transcribed. You can also read. Have you read it? Yeah, please make it a point to read all his conversations, all his books, all his letters, all his lectures, because then Prabhupada books will make sense. We say Prabhupada books have everything, but there's everything if you know everything about his books. That's important, because he doesn't repeat many things. He just speaks as if it is normal, because he's a self-realized person, no? But for us, it's very important. Okay, Prabhupada says, and that is why Prabhupada says, service means giving and not taking. Because service is a response, it's giving and not taking. Prabhupada says, therefore we should try to give to Krishna, not to ask, because he has given us everything without asking. Such a beautiful, this is a lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam, beautiful statement. Krishna gives us even without us asking him, isn't it? He gave us his body, we didn't ask. He gave us sun and moon and so many things, we didn't ask. He gave us devotees, we didn't ask. And that's Krishna all about. That is why service means giving and not taking. And so you go and make a diary and make a column. One is giving, one is taking. One is taking one. And fill that. And you will find your column of taking is very big and column of giving is very small. You see, you do that exercise. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends this. So, you see, we are taking holy name, we are taking prasad, we are taking devotees, we are taking lecture, we are taking books, what else? We are taking bliss, we are taking happiness from Krishna, we are taking his mercy, we are taking his protection, what we are giving. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you can figure out 10 points which you can give to him, just 10, your life is perfect. But to make the list 10, that's also difficult. That's very difficult. So what are you giving him? So can you tell example what you give him?
Trouble.
Trouble? That's one thing. Yeah, we are more expert than Krishna, in one sense. Krishna's God, he's the most expert, but we are more expert than him. He makes a plan for us and we mess it up. Isn't it? He makes a plan for us. Millions of lives he's making plan for us to liberate us. But every life we completely destroy his plans. So from that perspective, we are more expert than him. We are more perfect than him. In that sense. So yeah, what do you give him? What are you giving him? An example? Life is a very big thing. If Krishna demands a life now, we'll just leave ISKCON. Forget it. Who wants to be here? We'll not do that. In theory, it's good. Actually, none of us is ready to give a life.
If he owns everything, it's nothing that we can give him except our service.
And that's what Krishna is saying. But Prabhupada is saying, give him. You have to start thinking something to give him. Don't just keep on taking from him. So what do we give him?
Our service.
Come on. So you please fill that column you have to give him. One example is preaching, isn't it? We give him his name and fame. If you think about it, devotees are the only via medium through which Krishna is glorified in this world, isn't it? So preaching is a method to increase his name and fame. We give him name, fame and glory. That's one thing, preaching. And then there are, you figure it out, something you have to give him. Otherwise, our lives are not perfect. And whatever service you do, keep that service pure. And that's why Prabhupada, this is so important, this is from Lamna lecture, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, very cautiously, intelligently, we have to make progress in spiritual life. Prabhupada talks about service. Yes, you do with proper attitude and action, but keep it pure. Prabhupada, this is very important. We should be very much careful, otherwise there will be fall down. Once fall down means a gap of millions of years. Generally we say, if you fall down, you will get a human body. We hear, no? If you practice Krishna consciousness, human body is guaranteed next life. Isn't it? We generally say that. But that's not necessary, because what about Bharat Maharaj? He became deer. Nothing is guaranteed. That is all general rules. But if we cheat Krishna, Krishna will cheat us. He's expert. He can find loopholes in everything. He says something, but then you say, Krishna, you promised if we do Krishna consciousness, then not perfectly, we'll get a human body. And Krishna will say, yeah, I said this, but then there are different rules also. And he'll catch you. So, Prabhupada says, you have got this human form of life to complete Krishna consciousness, but if you're not serious, then again, gap of millions of years. Be cautious and intelligent. Prabhupada uses two words. And these two words are very important. Cautious for what? Why Prabhupada says be cautious? Cautious for what? Okay. For avoiding offenses. Okay, for avoiding offenses, fine. So another way to put this is, cautious to discriminate between what is lust and what is love. Now that's very important. That's a power of discrimination. Offenses are born of lust. If you go a little deeper into that. Lust means selfishness. Everything is born of selfishness, isn't it? So, that is very careful to distinguish between what is love and what is lust. And we have to be very careful in that. Otherwise, we'll become trapped. Illusion is everywhere. She can trick us like that. Isn't it? We might be in devotion for 80 years. Of course, nobody is here 80 years. So, we might have experience of 100 years, but how much illusion has experience? Infinite. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's like two servants, personal servants, they became confused. Kala Krishnadas, we know. We know he was servant. Mahaprabhu went to South India. He was personal. He's seeing God face to face. He's with God face to face, but he got seduced. And Balbhadra Bhattacharya, who went in North India with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came to Mahaprabhu and he said, Mahaprabhu, I'm going to have darshan of Krishna. Mahaprabhu slapped him. Come on. I'm sitting in front of you and going to have darshan of Krishna. What complete nonsense. He got confused. He got affected by illusion. So that's the power of illusion. Even with God, she can confuse you. And now we are not even with God personally. So we have to be very careful. That's the Prabhupada says cautious. Cautious to differentiate between lust and love. So you know what? Like Bhakti Siddhanta was super serious in that. Bhakti Siddhanta, so one devotee, he was just sitting on sofa like this. No, just sitting. Bhakti Siddhanta came and he said, you're doing illicit sex. And he was, come on, what's happening? You know, I'm just sitting like this. He was very strict. Prabhupada says, if my guru had been here, none of you will be here. He was like that. But the idea is like, and then Bhakti Siddhanta said, you are taking rest of Prakriti. This is Prakriti, no? Prakriti, nature. You are reclining on Prakriti. Prakriti is female. So if you develop a habit to take support of Prakriti always, support of female, you will end up marrying. Marriage is, you get support of a female. That was he. Exactly to the point. So, why I'm giving the example, I'm not giving you example, just so that from tomorrow you don't take rest. You can be at ease. But the idea is to make you understand to differentiate between love and lust. Even within devotion, we might be just in lust, but we might not understand what's happening with us. We might not really understand. You have to be, that's what Prabhupada says, you have to be very cautious. Whether you are doing sense gratification or you are serving God. When we eat prasad, we generally fall into sense gratification, isn't it? In fact, in the West, we Westerners like to eat sweets a lot, isn't it? Isn't it like that? I've seen that. So when I was just before in check, and there was one devotee, he eats 50 gulab jamuns. And he eats 50 and nothing, no problem. But then, you know what, then you can do that, but how does that please Krishna? Eating 50 gulab jamuns, it doesn't do anything. So you have to be very careful. But was cautious to discriminate between love and lust, and intelligent to apply that in your life. Okay, make services interesting. This I talked about. Make it interesting. Please make your service interesting. Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam Purport, lecture should be, this is text, this is Prabhupada talking about lectures. Lecture should be presented in an interesting manner for understanding of audience, This is called realization. This is a beautiful definition of realization. None of acharyas have given this definition of realization. If you read other acharyas' books, they define realization as anubhuti, or as aparoksh gyan, or as some other technical word they'll give. But Prabhupada gives such a practical definition. Realization means you have to present the matter in an interesting and understanding way. Simple. So if the subject is not, if you can't understand, then you'll not be able to make people understand, isn't it? If this is not interesting for you, how will you make it interesting for others? And anything which you understand and it is interesting to you, that can only happen if you have realized the subject. You understand? And here's a quiz now. Whatever Prabhupada says, he speaks from scriptures, isn't it? Prabhupada doesn't speculate, no? Where in the scriptures is it said realization is interesting and understanding? Any scriptural quote you can give? Any verse? Prabhupada is thinking of a verse. And that's one thing. When you read Prabhupada books, so you can sort of play this game. When you read Prabhupada books, every line you read and think what verse Prabhupada is thinking. Prabhupada is thinking of this verse and speaking. That's how Prabhupada speaks. In the background there is a verse going on. Which verse is this? Quick, I don't have time. Quick. Okay, I'll give you a hint. Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. I purposefully put this. From Gita. Connected with Gita. Because Gita is a book which we don't read. Yeah, we read also. But not so carefully. Yeah. No. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, fine. No, the idea is interesting and understanding. So, it doesn't connect, no? Soul is fire. It's not fitting, no? It's not fitting. Yeah. A verse which will talk about these two concepts, understanding and interesting, and realization. Okay, quick, otherwise I'll tell. Okay, fine. Should I count till five? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, finish. Okay, fine. No problem. You all know this verse. All of you know. But sometimes, you know, when the time comes, we'll not be able to apply it. Application and knowing is different. This verse is Mat Chitta, Madgata Prana. You know this now, you know? Bodhyanta parasparam, kathyanta shapam nityam, tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna says, my devotees should come together, they should discuss about Krishna, isn't it? And Prabhupada writes, they should discuss about their realizations. Bodhyanta parasparam, bodhyanta means realizations. Now what are realizations? Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Tushyanti means satisfaction. You become satisfied when you understand something, isn't it? Yeah, I'm satisfied. And ramanti means enjoyment or pleasure. You find something pleasurable when it is interesting. So, understanding and interesting. So when you come together, you discuss something about Krishna in an understanding and interesting manner. It's from there, simple. That's the verse there. Okay, plan your service. This is very important. Also plan your services. Make it a habit. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion Introduction, in the mental activities, we should always try to think of Krishna and try to plan how to please Him. Thinking about God is planning about His service. Thinking about God is not abstract. It's not just we are thinking His form and qualities. That's nice. But that's not it. Because thinking about His form, thinking about His qualities, thinking about His pastimes, that's very nice. But more important is thinking about His desires. That's where we have to go. And thinking about His desires means you have to plan how to fulfill His desires. That's what devotion is all about. So please plan. All great people had their diaries. And you have to plan your life. Short-term plans, long-term plans, mid-term plans. What you have to do whole life. Everything should be put in an Excel sheet. If you Excel, that's how you can. Otherwise, you'll become spaced out. You don't know what to do. You have to know when you after this lecture when you go to room what you are supposed to do. You have to know that, because as soon as you go, nothing. You don't know what to do. No, that every second should be planned. That is what makes difference between great people and us. And Prabhupada says, try to plan. This is a very important word, plan. Try to think. No. Try to plan. And Prabhupada always brings a practical take on everything. Do not just do services, create services. Letter to Lalit Kumar, 1971. Prabhupada says, I've hatched a transcendental plot for getting money. If we stick to the plan, use our brains for selling books, there'll be sufficient money. The idea is not to just give services. The idea is to create services. That's why I was talking about creativity. A leader, this is for leaders. Generally, tendency of leaders is to give service and okay, done. And most of the times it happens, they give service. They tell what to do, but they don't tell how to do. And then those people do something, do it wrong, and the leader comes and gets on their case. Why did you do like this? I asked you to clean the floor. Okay, I clean the floor. But then you have to tell. So you have to tell how to clean the floor, whether you want it to be mopped with water or soap or dry. You have to tell him how to do. Because if you tell what to do and not how to do, then it is not an order, it is cruelty. It is cruel. That's what philosopher says. It is cruelty to tell what to do but not how to do. Because you're torturing him. Isn't it? You're confusing him. And more than that, we have to tell him, you have to create a service for him which he likes. You have to come up with ideas what people like. So the idea is, a leader should not stifle the desires of devotees. Devotees should have a common plan for the temple or for the project. But every devotee has a different desires also, his personal things. You know, you have to do this, I have to learn this, I have to learn this. Generally it happens, the leaders, they say, no, you can't do this because you have to do this, we have this project. Yeah, that's good. But then they have their own desires. We have to come up with some ideas so that they can also fulfill their desires in the service of Krishna, not their whimsical desires. But we have to keep in mind, because nobody, you can't force anybody to be with you. Anyway, they are going to fulfill their desires, whether through you or whether through somebody else. Because there's no force here, there's no money, isn't it? So if a devotee wants to learn, suppose, Sanskrit, isn't it? So, okay, fine. Now you tell, well, you know, you can tell, you can't learn Sanskrit, you know, you have messed up and forget it. And there's no time, you have to do so many services. Yeah, okay. You can tell them. Yeah, there are so many services, you're required. Okay, 2 years you do this, and then I'll send you to Vrindavan, for example, this. We'll do a course, and I will make sure that you learn Sanskrit. You see the point? And how to do that, you should create some plan for that. So create service. Prabhupada created so many services, like book distribution, like go in the restaurant. So different people can do different services and be satisfied in Krishna consciousness. That's very important. Not just do services, but create services. Not just think about yourself, but think about others also. That's the idea. When it comes to service, don't just thinking how to do service, how to follow, how to please Krishna. No, it's not all about you, it's about others also. Okay, so I don't have to think about others because temple president is have to think. That's not a good idea. That's not devotion. Everybody has to think about everybody. That's how devotion goes. The more you think about others, the more Krishna will think about you. If you think about yourself, Krishna will think about himself. Krishna will say, you're thinking about yourself, I'll think about myself. Yathamam prabhadyante. But if you think about others, Krishna will be so happy. Krishna says, he's thinking about others, now let me think about him. That's how Krishna acts with us. And this is what is final instruction of Prabhupada. Always keep in mind, very important line.